So it's pretty easy to spot the introverts and the extroverts in a crowd, but it's also pretty easy to spot a prickly or pleaser child. Are they a thinker or a feeler? We're going to talk about what determines whether you're a thinker or a feeler, and we're going to talk about what happens when your child goes against societal gender roles. What are the characteristics of thinking and feeling, and how does that work with your actual brain geography? This episode is going to help you understand your kids better. It's probably going to help you understand your spouse better, maybe your parents, your siblings. You're going to start identifying these two characteristics in everybody you meet. Have you ever wondered if your child's behavior is normal? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? Learn how God designed them and how to guide them while also gaining insight into your own joy-robbing patterns. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team-building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy, parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not-so-normal together. Today's topic is one of my favorites. We're going to talk about thinkers and feelers. And my kids are both thinker and feeler. My daughter's the thinker. My son's the feeler. Just like Elsa and Anna in Frozen, Elsa's the feeler. No, Anna's the feeler. Elsa's the thinker. And thinkers are prickly. And feelers are pleasers. And so you can tell pretty early on whether you have a little thinker or a little feeler. So thinker is T in the Myers-Briggs system and feeler is F, and that refers to how we make decisions or judgments. And the J in the Myers-Briggs system stands for judging. Doesn't mean you're judgmental, it means decisions or judgments. We are a thinker if our preference is to leave feeling out of our decision making and we use mostly logic. We're a feeler if we prefer to consider our feelings and our circumstances to logic. So the Myers-Briggs types are determined by how our brains work. We all use thinking, feeling, sensing, and intuition, but we use them in different order. So if you prefer thinking as your number one or your number two brain function, you are called a thinker in the system because feeling is either your third or your baby inferior function. That's my daughter. Feeling is her most inferior function because thinking is her number one. Thinkers are able to make quicker decisions since they often base their decisions or judgments on hard and fast rules. Feelers can go over and over a decision or judgment, considering all the gray areas as well as the emotions of everyone involved. According to statistics, 75% of males prefer thinking and 75% of females prefer feeling when making decisions. Oftentimes in a marriage, you have a thinker married to a feeler, and whenever you go to marriage counseling or hear a marriage seminar, they're always telling the men, don't fix the problem, just listen to your wife, just validate her feelings. But maybe you're listening and you're the wife who's trying to fix your husband's problems because maybe you're flipped and you're the thinker and your husband's a feeler. So if you're a woman and most of your relationships at growing up were boys, chances are you're a thinker. If you still prefer the company of men to women, chances are you're a thinker. You just don't like all that drama. The terms thinker or feeler can be misleading and misunderstood to mean that feelers don't think and thinkers don't feel. Constantly, I have people tell me, oh yes, I'm definitely a thinker because my brain never stops. Well, most likely this statement was made by a feeler rather than a thinker, since feelers ruminate over their decisions more than thinkers do. When parents take my temperament test, The most common mistake they make when taking the test is they type their explosive thinker child as a feeler. Because as a child, thinkers are explosive. They want things to be clear-cut, and they get extremely frustrated and angry when they can't be in control or when their very determined, decisive mind can't do what they want to do. Feeler children tend to be more cooperative, and so they are not as explosive. Basically, thinker children are inflexible and feeler children are more flexible. Feeling children want to please you, whereas thinking children just kind of want my way or the highway. So if you're figuring out that you have a thinker child, you want to make sure that you talk calmly to them and you use logic. When I would get emotional around my daughter, she would just stare at me blankly because she had no idea what was making me so upset. Some thinking children will appear to be cranky or prickly in their demeanor, while others are serious, determined, and independent. So here's a story from my book, Your Child's Inner Drive. Even when my son Nathan was a bald, chubby-cheeked toddler, hurling food off his high chair and hitting his little sister, we could tell that he wanted to please. He did typical toddler things, but when we corrected him, he listened to us and showed remorse for his actions. Unlike her brother, when we corrected Jordan, it appeared that she was hard of hearing because she continued doing whatever it was we tried to stop. Any correction we tried to administer seemed to roll right off like water droplets off a well-waxed sports car. Get it? My book's called Your Child's Inner Drive, so I'm using car analogies. Anyway, things roll off her. She was determined, serious, and too busy to be restrained for something as frivolous as cuddling. Snuggling had to be on her terms, and it didn't happen often. A very common phrase we heard Jordan say was, "It's not fair." This might seem universal to all kids, but for a thinking child, it is part of their everyday vocabulary. For years, our society has norms and expectations outlining what typical behavior should look like in gender roles. Remember Leave It to Beaver? I'm probably showing my age right now, but in that show, husbands were portrayed in their business suits, carrying briefcases off to work, while wives were pictured in aprons and even pearls, happily baking cookies in the kitchen. Currently, we are doing a lot better with our gender roles and listening to our children and allowing them to be who they were meant to be by God. But in the case of my two children, societal norms have been reversed since my son is a feeler and my daughter is a thinker. As mentioned in episode 1, current research states that temperament comes from a 50-50 mix of nature and nurture. However, when a child is very young, nature's influence is far more evident. As the child grows and becomes an adult, nurture begins to play a much bigger role. My son and daughter are perfect examples of nature taking the lead at the moment of their birth. My daughter was a prickly thinker, and my son was a cooperative feeler. This differs not only from societal norms, but in the case of my daughter, it differs from both her parents as well. So my husband and I are both feelers. My son is a feeler. She's the only thinker in the bunch, and thinking is her number one function. Even at age 13, my son Nathan was the sweetest, most easygoing kid you would ever meet. He was and still is happy and content with himself and life in general. If I saw him languishing around the house, I would simply say, "Nathan, why don't you take the dog out for a walk?" And he would cheerfully reply, "Okay, Mom." I'm not joking. And hug me on the way out the door. At school, his teachers adored him and appointed him as a student mentor and student of the month. And it's a trick. It's a joke from God when you get this kind of kid as your first kid, because then you have kid number two way too soon. Our kids are only 16 months apart. So as a dominant feeler, my son, he's never been motivated by intense competition and has felt uncomfortable in many sporting environments. In addition to his feeler side, he is also a dominant sensor. We're going to have an episode coming up on that next. causing him to be very sensitive in his five senses. Basically, sensor means sensory. As a kindergartner, he was diagnosed with sensory processing disorder and ADHD, which caused him to be a bit clumsy. Because of his emotive side and sensory sensitivity, we always put him in individual sports like swimming, skiing, biking, and cross country, where he wouldn't have to compete head to head with other boys. A feeler is able to see situations from all perspectives rather than a black and white point of view. A typical thinking perspective, like from a dad, would be boys excel in sports, so with enough practice, they can win. Well, Nathan was already beating himself up for being clumsy, but if he was forced to follow in a competitive father's athletic footsteps, he would feel like a total failure. Like, he was terrible in football and those head-to-head types of sports. And you can check out the interview with him if this sounds like your son or your daughter. It is so critical for a thinking father or mother who has a feeler son or daughter to take off their coach's hat and put on the hat of understanding to find out where his or her son's true talents and desires lie. Some mothers and fathers are trying to live out their unrealized athletic dreams through their children, or they're pushing hard for that college scholarship. This also goes for moms trying to have their daughters do ballet or follow in their footsteps doing something more feminine. You'll hear in my daughter's interview that she did not like arts and crafts. She wanted a hammer and nails. She was more happy when she was building something. So I mentioned this in the trailer and in other episodes, but my son actually broke his arm twice in cross country and once in band. And even though my daughter went out for pole vaulting, she has never broken a bone. Now, I'm not saying that feelers break bones and thinkers don't. I'm just saying that feelers tend to be a little less competitive. Thinkers may not have as many words as a little one. My daughter was just action. She didn't have a lot of words. She was just kind of like an unstoppable tornado that would just get into things. And she didn't talk a lot, but there was a lot going on upstairs in her head. And they're extremely determined and very decisive. And fairness is super important to them. So if you're hearing them say something's not fair, if they're arguing with you every time you try to make a rule or tell them no, chances are they're a thinker. They're not really cuddly, and if they are, it has to be on their terms. Now, that totally morphs and changes as they get older, because sometimes, since they don't really like expressing feelings, they would prefer to show emotion through a physical display of emotion. Temperament definitely manifests itself differently in children than adults, and that is why it's really important to work with someone that has worked with child temperament and has seen thousands of temperament patterns. So I love to do family brain maps where you can see, you know, where your thinking, feeling, sensing, intuition, where all those functions are in order, and you can really see where there are connections and disconnections in the family. This is where we learned that my daughter was the only thinker in our family, and I was the only extrovert, and my daughter's the only P or perceiver in our family, and we're going to get to that in a future episode as well. But basically, perceiver means you are a free spirit, whereas the rest of us in the family are more structured. I like to say you're either driving a convertible through life if you're a P, or you're driving a sedan through life if you're a J. I have given validation to so many parents when there's a scenario where the mom is the only J and everybody in the family is a P, or vice versa. They now know why it seems like they're constantly herding cats. And I apologize for all the examples of my son and daughter in these early episodes, but they're just such perfect examples of thinker-feeler and perceiving and judging. but I have hundreds of stories from other kids and other families, as well as interviews with adults of all different types. So in the Myers-Briggs system, all Eagle types, we talked about the four behavior patterns in the first episode. You have the ox, the lion, the eagle, and the human, or in The Wizard of Oz, you have Dorothy, the lion, the scarecrow, and the tin man. So every scarecrow or eagle type is a thinker, and every human or tin man type is a feeler. That's why the scarecrow just only wanted a brain and the tin man only wanted a heart. But they already had what they were looking for, was the idea of Wizard of Oz. So the scarecrow or eagle is called the NT, intuitive thinker, and the tin man or human is called the NF, the intuitive feeler. And I know intuitive starts with I, but we reserve I for introvert in the Myers-Briggs system. So intuitive or intuition starts with N. The ox and lion have both feeler and thinker types. So you have thinker and feeler ox types, and then thinker and feeler lion types. So there's a huge difference between the thinking ox type and the feeling ox type. The thinking ox type as a child can appear quite rigid and controlling, whereas the feeling ox type is super flexible and easygoing. And same with the thinking lion types. They can seem very argumentative and defiant. And you have the feeler lions that catch their parents off guard because on one hand, they're so sweet and snuggly, but then all of a sudden they'll just roar out of nowhere. And then you have introverted thinking and extroverted thinking. Those are two different brain functions. And one, introverted thinking, is more out of the box and non-conventional and rebellious. And the extroverted thinking is more of a rule follower. And all ox types have extroverted thinking. All lion types have introverted thinking. And same with feeling. There is extroverted feeling and introverted feeling. Introverted feeling is more personal and private. And extroverted feeling is heart on their sleeve and open. So we're going to talk more about that in future episodes, but I did want to differentiate between the four different flavors of thinking and feeling. So if you have an explosive thinker child, I just want to encourage you that as they grow, they become more logical, rational, and calm. And as adults, they are extremely calm. Now, I know it's no picnic having a number one feeler in your household either. That can be extremely dramatic and quite a bit of a roller coaster. So I know that there are challenges on both sides. I want to be here for you. I have a Facebook community called Not So Normal Parenting Facebook community, where you can take a free child temperament test and you can ask any questions and interact with parents that have kids of similar temperaments to you. So my thought for the day is the way you talk to your children is the way they talk to themselves. And the way you see your children becomes the way they see themselves. This is why I'm so passionate about helping parents see their child clearly for who God designed them to be. Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles, as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens, Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality Session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?